Bless of us. Feels good to be here today. So I was prepping this sermon. I think I wrote three of them and had to start over all three times. And like, no, that doesn't sound right. No, I don't like this one. And I was all proud of myself. I was like, oh, nice, I got it done early. I'm all ready to go. And then yesterday, well, this was the second one yesterday night. And then Isabel's all, well, it better not be boring. And I was like, oh, great. So now there I go again. I start over because I was like, yeah, this sounds kind of boring. So I'm starting up last night after youth and try to use some of what I already had, and then got another one going. So this is number three, so I hope it's not too boring. So many of us have jobs, and within our jobs, we have job descriptions. And then some jobs you work more than others. Like, there's some days where I don't work, kind of just show up. And within your job, you are provided with many benefits, right? You get health insurance, vision, dental. Some of us get 2 weeks off, or different types of benefits. And those are just a plus on top of what we already make. So our monthly salary, or if you're hourly, whichever you are, right? Which those are things that allow us to pay our mortgage, to pay off our cars, to pay all the bills. So it's the same thing when we are part of God's family. We have a job description, in a sense. And along with that job description, we also have lots of great benefits. See, we're provided with salvation and eternal life. We have a relationship with the Father. We're adopted into the family of God. We have a home in heaven. And we have the opportunity for a great life here on earth. And these are just few of the benefits that we get. So I want to ask you right now, why are you here? So I want you to think about that. Why am I here today? Am I here for the benefits? Do I just want to come here, sit here, and take all these benefits in? Or am I here to fulfill part of my job duties, part of being a servant of God? See, we weren't saved to show up once a week and sit in a pew. And if that's what you think we are saved for, I'm sorry, but I'm going to Bible slap you today. Okay? Because that's not the reason, guys. If you want to see things done, then you need to do them. You can't be like, I have this great vision. Here, Alex, do it. Or you know, hand it off to somebody else. That's not how it works. If you have a vision, yes, ask for help. Hey, I want to see this done. Can you help me get there? Or if you have a responsibility within the church already, we can't be flaky with it. We can't be like, yes, I signed up for all these things, but now times are a little tough. I'm not going to do them all. See, the apostles, it was pretty clear. They were called, they were commanded, and they were told that they were going to serve and they were going to go out and preach for the remainder of their life. They were serving. They weren't just soaking all the benefits. Yes, they had great benefits that came along with it. But it wasn't, I'm going to go show up and just take them all. See, we were saved to glorify God, guys. And that is the true reason why you should be here today. To glorify God. See, 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. See, you're not supposed to be here to get something. You don't come to church to get something, because guess what? You are the church. People are to come to you because you are the church. You're supposed to be the light of the world. So if you're here because you want to take home with you something, I hope you take this home. You are the church. Be the light that we need in this world. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" When Jesus talks about following him, it's a make it or break it kind of thing. You're in or you're out. It's like, I'm going to be in on Monday and Tuesday, and Wednesday and Thursday, I got stuff going on, so not those days. Luke 14, 27. "Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." If you're not willing to put in the work, you're not his disciple. Don't take that title. That one, when I read it, it was like, Pontela. Slap to the face. If I'm not willing to put in the work. A disciple is defined as a follower. Somebody that follows the teachings. They're dedicated to learning and accepting Christ's teachings and commandments. That's their goal. And if Jesus said, and if you cannot do that, you're not my disciple. That's what this verse is saying. Because see, those who follow Jesus walk in the light. John 8, 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And those who follow Jesus are known by name. John 10, 3 to 4. "To him, the gatekeeper opens the door, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." And those who follow Jesus are honored by the Father. John 12, 26. "If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him." So what does it mean to follow Jesus? See, I remember playing follow the leader sometimes. You know, someone's in the front and you're all kind of like holding lines and going through different obstacles. And it was great when I was skinny when I was a little guy, because then I got to go through all the same obstacles. But once I started getting chunkier, and then the skinny guys did all these crazy weird things that I couldn't do, then I lost and I got off the line. And that's how it is with our walks sometimes. Sometimes we feel like we can't do all the obstacles that are getting thrown at us. But you have to be willing to go and do them. Jesus said to Peter and to Andrew, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." They left their nets and followed him for a lifetime. To Levi, Jesus said simply, "Follow me." He left his tax booth and followed Christ. See, we can't think of all the different things that are going to come up. Oh, but this is going that way. I can't do this because I have this going on Tuesday night. And no, I got to go and do this. No. Jesus says, "Follow and you should follow. See, Jesus does not expect us to traverse the territories of Galilee, Samaria, Decapolis. See, his meaning in the scripture isn't necessarily literal. We're not going to go to all these places. See, it's a lifelong thing that we're doing. Following Jesus is a metaphor, an analogy. Almost like when we are referred to as sheep. It says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. See, not only does He know them, He's willing to go out and get you if you're the one that's lost. Luke 15:4-6. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. We tend to get lost. We can't do it on our own. But that's why we have the shepherd to guide us. That's why when our relationship with Christ is strong and we truly mean it, He is there to guide us. See, following Christ means more than one thing. We need to follow Christ by living right. See, the writer of the letter to Hebrews counsels us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. See, what happens when we fix our eyes on Jesus? We see a true holy life. We see humility. We see meekness. We see uncompromised devotion to the Father. We see careful attention to the health of His soul. We see a lack of desire for material things. We see a lack of desire for worldly prestige. We see forgiveness of those who wronged Him. We see that He's not immune to temptation, but strong enough to avoid sin. We see readiness to suffer and die for others. And sometimes we need to follow Jesus by suffering a little bit. Because if it's all too comfortable, then we're probably not doing everything we can. 1 Peter 2:20-21. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you may follow in His steps. See, we need to follow Jesus by taking up our cross, guys. And that doesn't mean take it up on Sabbath morning and never again. Luke 14:27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I read that earlier. And I'm reading it again because I want you to understand that. If you're not willing to do that, you're not considered his disciple. See, a cross is an instrument whose only purpose is to cause death. And death with great suffering. Some of us may say, well, yeah, that's not for me. Listen to what it meant to Paul in 2 Corinthians. This is 2 Corinthians 4:8-11. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about it in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over the death of Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. See, Peter denied Jesus, whom he had once declared to be God. He was at that point where he was not ready to take up his cross. Like, this is not for me. And the world is changing. It used to be safe. It used to be a good thing to be a Christian. Now we're looked down upon. And you have to be willing to suffer a little bit. We are called to follow Christ in hard situations. There's a price to be paid. Luke 14:28-33. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish it, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he needs to come up with a plan. See, all these things that we call our possessions are not our own. We have nothing that truly belongs to us. And we need to recognize where the blessings flow from. Not even our body is ours. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. See, our bodies are for our use. They're not ours. Our vehicles, our houses, they're not ours. In Luke 9:57-58, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So what did Jesus mean? It meant that following him isn't a big fairy tale. It's a life of hardship sometimes. And it is very true that as God, the whole world is his. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't want anything. Yet as man, he became poor so that we might be rich. Later on in that same chapter, 59-62, says, to another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord. But let me first say farewell to those at home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't think twice about it. Don't look back. Take that step forward. Be willing to be the change that you want to see. It's one thing to complain about everything and not do anything about it. Trust me, I know I complain a lot. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not a burden to us. They're performed by our free will. We want to do them. Salvation is free because the price has already been paid, guys. So how well are we doing fulfilling our duty to glorify Christ? Or are we putting it off and we're just here for the benefits? Sign me up. But when you need something, I don't want to be there. Sign me up for all these benefits, but don't count me in when it comes to vacuuming the church, taking out the trash. John 6, 66 through 68. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." We can't simply show up Sabbath morning and be here for the benefits. I said something earlier, and I said that you are the church. Be that light in this world. Yes, it's hard. It's not easy. Believe me. 2 weeks ago, we were coming to church, and I was in the car, and I was complaining. And Isabel tells me, "I'm sorry to tell you, husband, but it's not all about you." And that made me think, because it's right. It's not all about me. The services that we do for God are not about us. We do them for the others. And I'm a grouch. When I get irritated and things aren't going right, I get grouchy. And I thank God that He gave me someone like Isabel, where she's not afraid to say what she's feeling right then and there. Sometimes it irritates me, but when I calm down and I really realize, she's a blessing in my life. A true blessing. And when we're going through the SWAT, guys, when we're trying to serve God and glorify Him, God is there for us. It's not just, "Here you go, go!" And there's no support system. Isaiah 40, 29. "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." Isaiah 40, 31. "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." I printed out 46 verses that I was planning on reading to you, but I won't read them all. I'll read you just a few more. So you can see that God is there for you when you're trying to glorify Him. He doesn't let you out to dry. And those 46 is just what I gathered last night, like at 2:30 in the morning when I was tired and ready to go to bed. There's much more. Isaiah 54:10. "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." Let's see, what's another one I should read? Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And I'll leave you with this one, Mark 10:45. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." You are the church. Be the light of this world. Grace to you and peace be multiplied.